good to see you. Bless you.
Hey, good to see you. Bless you, my friend. Hey, I love the background.
Yay.
Well,
bless you all.
Hey, you know, I take all the blessings I can get, man, in this world. Man, Dr. Chris, it's good to have you on the program. Now, we've got the folks watching at home here. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, who you are, and what you're about?
Yeah, okay. My name's Crystal Macklin. I do what I call divine healing. I've been on a journey, of course, like we all have. When I was four, I saw, interdimensional entities and went through that, and then went into the corporate world, didn't like that at all, and then about 14 years ago I went completely bankrupt and lost everything, and marriage split up, and I realized it's God with a 2x4 saying, hey, it's time to get you out of this third dimensional world and do something really important. And so I went on a journey about 4 years, unemployed, couldn't get a job, and I realized, and one day I said, okay, God, this is not funny. Why can't I get a job? He goes, well, you're not supposed to. Oh, okay. You're supposed to focus on the healing. So I went through a journey of understanding healing, traveled over the world, and then came to the U.S., set up a non-for-profit, and here we are, And I've been doing healing for about 12 years, 13 years here. And, I've grown it and grown it and had profound effects. So. But, it's all facets of healing. It's not just, cancers and things like that. It's healing mental health issues because, wow, we're in a world where it's really kind of messed up right now. So,
that might be the understatement. So,
people need help.
So, the world messed up might be the understatement of the century there, Dr. Man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And, as far as needing healing and different things. But I tell you, I bet there's a lot of people watching the program that would also like to hear a voice say, hey, you don't need to work either, man. But are they going to get it?
Well, what I learned is this, when I was in the corporate world, it's all about, oh my God, I've got to have a paycheck. And you come home and, you don't enjoy your job. In fact, I couldn't stand my job. I worked for Philips and Marconi and different big companies. I worked on the Airbus industry project, and different things. And I was very successful, but couldn't stand the job. And I thought, I kept looking and thinking, there's got to be something bigger than this. And so, I think if you're listening at home and you don't enjoy your job, everyone, I always teach people, everyone's got a gift. And, sometimes you don't realize what it is until you kind of take a step back. And what happens is, what I've learned is that, again, whatever you call God is up to you. God, Elam, Yahweh, Prime Creator, it doesn't matter. There's a big thing around this that created this planet and everything else. So, I call it Prime Creator. But I think, once you learn your gift and once you actually get on the track and do your gift, you get blessed every day, because people say, oh, well, yeah, that's fine. If I leave, if I leave my job, how am I going to make money? But that's the wrong attitude. You've got to take a leap of faith. Say, okay, let's leave the job and let's do something where my gift, like, for example, if you're good at cooking and chefing, if you're good at if you're good at art, if you're good at anything, woodworking, if you step out and start doing your gift, God's got your back. You always get blessed. How many people do I see and they're, well, of course I'm super spiritual. I'm right up there, but I'm broke like everyone else. Nah, I'm not buying that. Because if you're really in divine alignment, you will be blessed every single day of your life. And that's one thing I teach people. And it's hard to grasp, but it's really true. I'm living proof of it,
By the way, I do want to give a special shout out to Jim and Michelle in Bath, Pennsylvania. Jim and Michelle, appreciate you so much. All right. Well, Doctor, I like that, where you're talking about sort of taking a leap of faith. You're saying that basically you don't have to have that. Now, this might be sort of a Western mentality, though, isn't it? To have a 40-hour job, 40-hour week job. Work for that week vacation, get a mortgage, raise your kids, pay your taxes, die off. Seems pretty grim. I mean, not that raising a family is a bad thing, but I mean, it seems like there's a
whole
pattern.
Cycle.
There's a well, your pattern, that pattern got interrupted for you. But isn't that sort of the pattern that we're saying this is life? How it's supposed to be?
Oh yeah, I mean it's programming. It's almost like the Montauk programming, and all these programs were going on since the Babylonian times. To enslave people, so you're in debt, so you got to get out to work. You have all the stress. How are we going to pay the bill? How are we going to do that? I remember a guy. We do group healings 3 times a week. It's by donation. We do it Monday, Thursday, and Saturday. And I remember a guy being on, he put in the chat on Zoom, he said, well, he said, you know, I'm doing these healings, but, you know, my, you know, I haven't got enough money, my transmission's gone out, my wife's really stressed, I don't know how to pay the mortgage, I don't know, but, you know, and I said to him, whoa, hang on, we need to pick up this, because this is really important. I said to him, you know what you're not realizing is, you're an amazing manifester. You're manifesting bad stuff in your life. If you actually turn that around and manage, like, okay, I'm blessed, I've got everything, you know, you'll get everything. And that's the thing, we create our own reality, you know, and so it's a really important point.
Well, let me ask you something, and it's sort of depressing for me to even bring it up, but hey, maybe you can talk me down. I just led into this myself, so I'm going to hold myself, my feet to the fire on this point. I talked about a sort of a Euro-Western-centric way of life. Now, there are those in this country that say all of basic America's institutions, all of them, are evil. Let's just put it that way. We know what word we can use in there. But they all need to be overthrown and then something else put in its place. Now, nobody really knows exactly what that is. Right now, it's this group that's growing is in a destructive mode, destroy everything. And I'm going to just go ahead and say it. Statue, history, people, cancel people, to destroy it all. But of course, they're not saying what's on the other end of that. But isn't that sort of the same thing what I said? I just sort of ridiculed the Western-centric type of attitude. But they're also kind of saying the same thing. But they don't really have something on the other side of that. So are both true?
Well, my opinion is that, you know, even the presidents and the Prime Minister of England, you know, wherever you look, they're just puppets for this, you know, like you say, kind of matrix system that's pretty satanic. You know, it's really dark. And I think, you know, one thing people don't realize is if you join the Masonic Lodge, yay, it's a business club until you get to 10 degrees. And, oh, hang on, we'll worship Lucifer. Well, who the heck's Lucifer? You know, well, at that point, you know, once you get over 10 degrees, you give your soul. If you want money, I mean, for example, if I started a business, for example, and I want to build a coffee shop. So we build a coffee shop in Branson, Missouri, and it's very successful. It'll take you 2-3 years, and then you might open another one. You will never, ever create a chain as big as they are without this, you know, money from the Illuminati, as we call them. They think they're illuminated ones. They're really not, but they're satanic. Mm-hmm. So if you sell your soul to them, you'll be really successful. If you don't, you'll never get, you know, really anywhere, because it'll take too long. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, and it's really true, the whole thing's controlled. You know, look at the Gates Foundation, look at the, you know, the Rothschilds, look at, you know, the Rothschilds, I looked a couple of years ago, and they were worth something like $900 trillion. Very difficult to find a figure, because, of course, they hide it in all the matrix and this and that. But that was an estimate, $900 trillion. They could buy anything. And why should anyone need that money? So, you know, my answer is that what they're doing is enslaving us. The SWIFT system, oh, it's owned by the Rothschilds. So all your banking transactions go through the Rothschilds' computers, and they see stuff, and, you know, it's it's about complete control, and it's not okay.
Yeah. Well, these anarchists are never going to get to those people. That is for sure. They only seem to be attacking people that are defenseless, or businesses that are defenseless, little moms and pops. So they're not going to be able to get to the Illuminati, the New World Order, the Skull and Bones, the Rothschilds, or any of them. They're not going to reach it. These people have been around for centuries. They're not about to let somebody take their power or their money.
Except, you know,
hey, by the way, Dr. Chris, now I've been in Branson a few times. Lovely little town. I usually go there. We take our trailer down there, and we go to what's called the Gen 6 conference there, at a big venue. But recently, and this is kind of an aside, something I wanted to know since you live there. I guess there was a protest or attack on a business called Dixie Outfitters.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's all about, you know, again, you know, it's all about separation, and, you know, they were selling, you know, flags of different things, and there was a protest, Black Lives Matter, and all this sort of thing, and people are getting caught up with this. Of course, Black Lives Matter, so do white lives, so does everyone's lives, and, you know,
that's
it's
dangerous.
About, to me, it's coming together, you know, and these guys put this stuff out there to create separation. Separation is the biggest mind programming thing you'll ever meet, of course, you know. you've got kind of religion, you've got the politics, you've got then you've got Big Pharma and the doctors and all this sort of thing, and it's all messed up. You think, wow, how south can it go? It's pretty south right now, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, but here you come along and say, hey, now look, man, I got a message of healing, and I would think with a message of healing, there would be some hope in there too. So, aside from healing, what hope does your I guess you would call it, you know, the Global Enlightenment Project, does it bring hope?
I think it does, because what it does is it gets you out of the third dimensional matrix, you know. And I always give an analogy, you know, so humanity's in the swimming pool. They're pooing and weeing. Where do you want to dive in that? Probably not. So take a step back, get on the side. And, you know, it's important to step out the matrix so you're not feeling all the emotions of people around. Switch off the news. So, you know, there's so much hatred on Facebook. If you can manage it, great. If you can't, switch it off for now and get, you know, to me, it's getting back to your sovereign self, you know, being able to release enough emotion. You know, we ingest several thousand layers of emotion. That's why everyone's sick, because your vibration drops, everyone's depressed. You know, how many people are on antidepressants right now and Valium and all these sort of things? You don't need it. You know, what you need to do is work on yourself and release these emotions and get you back up to a place where you're leaping out of bed in the morning. Look for your gifts, and once you find your gifts, you get a passion for them. Mm-hmm. And don't you know, I don't want people to misrepresent passion for ego. You know, I have a passion for this. I don't have an ego for it. I love it, you know, and I love working on it every day. You know, like this morning, it's my day off, you know, 11 till 12 o'clock. We had about 2,000 people on a healing session. And why do I do that? Because it's a way of life, you know. It doesn't become a job. It's a kind of way of life. And I think that's really important, you know. And then you don't feel as you're going to work. It's just what you do. You know?
All right. Well, bringing health and healing to people certainly sounds like a reasonable and admirable thing to even be involved with. But and I would agree with this, and I've said this on the program several times, that the amount of negative news out there is just off the charts. And by the way, if any of my Facebook friends are watching the program, I haven't looked at a video link you sent me. So don't send them anymore. I mean, doctor, I don't know about you, but my Facebook messenger is filled with must watch, must make viral. Watch this before it goes away. I mean, just every day is, and every one of them is just and you know, I know what the intent is. They're trying to say, hey, you know, it's bad out there. Well, I think we got that part, but I think we need, you know, I think that don't need no splaining. That's cowboy. So if you, by the way, I am cowboy, so you're going to hear some cowboy type of lexicon.
Yay!
Here.
Well, I'm American citizen, but I've still got a British accent and I can't get rid of it. Sorry.
Hey, I tell you what, though. I got, how's this? Would you like a spot of tea, mate? How was that?
Would you like a what?
A spot of tea.
Oh, a spot of tea. Yeah, oh, we love a spot of tea. Or
well, there's no tea in there. It's a spot.
You know, when I went to immigration, you know, the officer sat there and he goes, well, is there anything that couldn't make American? I said, wow, I do apologize. What's that? He said, I can't give up afternoon tea. And he goes, oh, I don't think we're worried about that.
well, doctor, and I'm saying right this, laughter is good medicine.
Absolutely.
A merry heart doeth good like medicine. And I think we need to bring some good news and some happiness to people, because man, this day of want and woe, and there's a lot of woe out there. But and I applaud you and others that's in your kind of field, doctor. Though I'm not saying that I agree with everything you're going to say in this interview. This is just for information. People do what they will, you know. But I'm looking for nuggets of truth. And other people are, and that's all you can expect. Help people maybe shine a little light on their way, and if there's something that doesn't fit, you know, move on. But so, you know, if we're bringing some kind of happiness or some kind of health tips, and so I think we already got a couple. One, turn the damn news off. Two, but how now? What this? It took time. It took time for everybody to get where they are. And a lot of us, being humans, we get set in our ways. We learn things. Habits, tendencies, thoughts, and to move back from that doesn't seem like it's an easy process. How does one begin to pull away and reevaluate what's it all about?
Well, I think what you've got to do is process it, you know, and processing takes a bit of a step back, and You know, I believe in process and like mental health issues. People have a lot of emotion and things like this. It's very important to take a step back and have a look at, okay, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling this? And what patterns have I created? Is it OCD, ADHD, whatever it is? And start changing those patterns, because you can transmit them quite quickly. You know, it's like, for example, a lot of people get abandonment issues. So I got abandonment issues. My father was a crabby old shit. And, you know, he's kind of, you know, I went for a degree. You're not good enough, you know, because Whoa. I had severe dyslexia. I was very bright with figures, but severe dyslexia. So reading is not my passion. Spelling, definitely out of the game. I have no gift of spelling. So what I did is I love him, but with boundaries. So, you know, we're not doing that anymore. And I think it's really important that I understood it, process the emotion, and then what you have to do, so you don't get hurt again, set boundaries. So if he starts all the crabby stuff again, okay, Dad, love you, bye, you know, and stop it. And he's learned to, oh, we're not doing that, because otherwise I won't be able to speak to him. And I think that's really important, setting boundaries. And people have difficulty with that, because a lot of gifted people are empaths, so they feel sorry for people, but that's not going to do you any good, because all you're going to do is ingest their emotion, feel sorry for them, feel really down, and, you know, you're just building your emotional layers. So, you know, try and set boundaries. You know, to me, love is love with boundaries, you know, because then you can love people without getting triggered. And, you know, that's where, obviously, on Facebook, there's a lot of hatred and things happening, masked versus unmasked and all this sort of thing. And I think, you know, if you can't cope with it, switch it off. But don't try not to get triggered by it. You know, there's people out there giving classes on how to manage hatred comments, you know, and love people. But, you know, be straightforward and say, okay, you know, you don't like this, or, well, maybe you should look at that, you know, and just be loving about it, you know. To me, that's what it's all about.
There is the COVID-19 is affecting the entire world, and somehow it seems to be really affecting the United States. I guess we have our own way of handling it. Do you see that as any sort of conspiracy of any kind? The mask issue, like you just said, the mask versus no. Basically, what we have, instead of looking at the government, it's people saying, you know, look at that person have a mask, or the person says, hey, that person have a mask is controlled by the government, you know, is a sheep. And it's almost like it's designed, as you, I think you mentioned earlier, to divide people. Because, you know, nobody agreed to that. And in fact, I don't know one city, state, or municipality that took a vote. I don't even know how it's a law. And they're just telling people you're going to get fined. And there's no law to reference. What law did I break? Well, it's not a law. The governor said so. Well, wait a minute. What happened to the... And I'm sure when you came over here to the United States, you understood that the United States is based on the Constitution, and it's based on the rule of law, is why we've been able to survive as long as we have. In a free state, whatever is left of it, is because we've had laws. Now, those laws are just being going around as if they don't exist. So what I'm saying is, do you think there's anything behind that, this whole COVID mass 19 crap?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I agree with you. It's complete nonsense and crap. I think what they've done is, I think they've used it as a test ground to see how people react. And, you know, don't get me wrong, COVID-19, and again, there's two viruses. You know, I work with leading toxicologists and stuff who have seen it under the microscope. I don't do conspiracy. I do actually truth. You know, I always look at things before I say anything about it. Okay, what's in this COVID thing? Oh, there's HIV proteins, which means you're going to get HIV, which means you're getting AIDS on steroids. That's why people are dying within 7 days, depending on how robust their DNA is. If their DNA is robust, it doesn't touch you. If your DNA is not robust, it crashes all the organs, wow. And you know, I've seen it. So that's one of them. The coronavirus is corona, which has been around for years. It's in the flu, it's in herpes. So, you know, when they're doing a test for corona or COVID-19, are they getting a true result? The answer is no. You know, everyone's had the flu in the last 2, 3, 4 years. Mm-hmm. If it's got a coronavirus of some sort, then, oh, you tested positive, so let's put you on the tick list, you know. So The figures are just a pile of nonsense. People are believing this stuff. COVID-19 is a weaponized system, but RNA, DNA, so it depends on your RNA of your blood, O types, different than AB. It depends on what blood type you have. It depends whether it, you know, blows up in the body or not. But, you know, HIV, I mean, they talk about a vaccine. They can't even have a vaccine for HIV, and that's a manufactured disease. So is Lyme disease, Borrelia Lyme disease. So is Agent Orange. And so is obviously COVID-19 with the HIV and the AIDS when it blows up in the body. So so it exists. But the funny thing about wearing masks is, well, there's nanotech in the COVID-19, nanoparticles, 10 to the minus 9 small. So if they spray in the chemtrails, it's going to get through your skin. So wearing a mask is not very good. Now, if you wore a spacesuit, I'd say, yeah, you've got a fighting chance. So if you're going to go in things, forget the mask, wear a spacesuit, and then that'll really protect you. Or not, you know. But hey, but it's stupid wearing a mask because it's not really doing anything except, you know, you're breathing in your own bacteria and stuff, and people are getting now lung issues.
Yeah, I imagine human beings were not designed to breathe 30% of the CO2 that's coming out of their body right back in. That's why we have a nose to breathe out. I mean, in the beginning, they say science. Oh, you believe in science, don't you? Oh, we're doing this because of science. Okay, what science says you can't be in the middle of a lake because you might catch it. Like they said in Michigan, they said if you're in the middle of a lake, you could spread it. And why is it that it seems that it doesn't spread if you're rioting and burning down buildings, you don't spread it. But if you're going to, say, to a church to sing, you're spreading it. I mean, so the message is so bad. It's like, why is there any edict about it? And I agree with you. It seems to be some sort of test run to see what people will do. But, hey, did you see Dr. Fauci in the baseball stands without his mask?
No, I didn't actually. But
yeah,
wow.
here's the guy that's telling everybody to wear a mask, and he's up in the stands, not only not social distancing, but he's not wearing a mask, and that just tells you right there the whole thing is a hoax. And
it is. And he's one of the guys who funded the Wuhan labs, and so is Gates and all these people. It's just, you know, it's just nonsense.
Now,
what they're
this,
trying to do, you know, is this new vaccine. You know, Morgellons is nanoparticles. What they've done is put it in a gel, you know, so when they inject it, it gets in, it then goes through the body. Nanotech, you know, gets in the body, but it's in certain places and it starts to grow like Morgellons. Mm-hmm. You know, with this new gel, it's nanotech, but it's what they're after, I think, is to, because it's patented, if they alter your DNA, they can patent you. That means they can actually create you as an asset and put you on the internet with Bitcoin or something else, and you become an asset of the United States and you're on the internet, you know. And I think it's almost making people robotic.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so one good thing, Dr. Chris, is that you talk about putting a nanotech in the chemtrails. There's a whole lot less airplanes in the skies and a whole lot less chemtrails going on right now.
Oh yeah, it's brilliant, you know. And in fact, people don't realize, you know, there's barium, strontium, there's Borrelia, which is a spirochete Lyme disease, bound to nanotech. So, and that's the thing, I think they were hoping that, so for example, you know, you get sprayed with nanotech with Borrelia, which is the spirochete Lyme. So it gets in your body, it's there, but it's dormant. Why is that? Well, because the trigger is Agrobacterium, and that's in GMO foods and in vaccines. Agrobacterium, if you ingest enough of it, it'll damage your DNA, which damages the RNA and the actual, and the autoimmune, and allow spirochetes to replicate. That's why some people can have HIV for all their life, but they don't get AIDS, because your autoimmune and your DNA is robust against it. So, you know, it's pretty kind of sinister. You know, they've been very clever.
Mm. And I would also say, if somebody has hate in their heart, it seems to me that they would be more likely to have a compromised immune system, because it seems hate sort of generates negative energy in a body. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, think about the autoimmune thymus is below your chest. Spleen is further down. So your heart, you know, your heart is here. So you build up negative energy around the heart. It affects the thymus, which means your T cells get weak, which means you don't create the proper antibodies. That's why, you know, so many people in the United States, you know, I work on several thousand people, you know, every week, you know, with the groups and the specialized groups and things. And so many people say, well, you know, I've got my allergies. Well, don't own them. If you've got allergies, it's probably either because you've actually had a vaccine where it's damaged the autoimmune or the emotion. And autoimmune gets weak. The T cells aren't fighting, you know, creating antibodies to fight it. So, of course, you've got sinus infections. And, you know, one of the key instruments, I think, to autoimmune, like you say, is rid yourself of emotion. We have a meditation that helps, you know, rid yourself of emotion. It takes 9 layers of emotion off every single time. So if you play that for a few months, you're going to feel like, wow, I feel much better. Mm-hmm. And I've seen, you know, people's autoimmune kickstart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never get sick, you know, ever get sick, because I stay in a really good place. I'm really happy. I feel really blessed. I feel really surrendered to, in quotes, God or prime creator, whatever you want to call God. Mm-hmm. And I know God's got my back, so we just get out there and we do our work, and I never, ever get sick, you know, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know there. And of course, now if somebody's eating GMO foods and has anger issues, man, they seem like a prime target. You said that, and it does seem. I mean, this is the weird thing, and I brought this up on another show, Doctor. See, I want to see where you come down on this. Is it possible that this Cooties 19 is so sophisticated that it can tell how to attack a certain person? I mean, to mutate itself for a specific attack. Because I heard it is because they say that it's mutating, and now mutation to me in a short time says there's a technology behind the mutation. There's something that initiates that, whether it's a conscience. Or as, and I don't know how they could program down to the subatomic level or the DNA level or the helix. I don't know how they could program down to that level, but it seems as if it knows stuff. Is that even possible?
Oh yeah, you know, these nanobots know stuff because they're nanobots. They've got artificial intelligence, so they can, like say RNA, depending on your blood types, and obviously different countries have different blood types. Majority, it can actually affect certain blood types rather than others. So you know. It depends what blood type you've got, but also it depends what DNA you've got. So for sure, you know, it's an intelligent viral pathogenic, stealth pathogenic infection. So it is targeted people for sure.
Once somebody's DNA is damaged, or their RNA, is it possible for repair?
Yeah, we have a new protocol, and it's interesting if I may explain it. Mm-hmm. So what we do is, if you got Lyme disease, if you got AIDS, if you got Agent Orange, and we run 20 people a month. And what we do, and obviously COVID-19 as well, if it's blown up in the body. So what we do is we split. I have the ability to split your timeline. So the timeline you're on now, we split it in two. So you go on a timeline, divine alignment, complete wellness, where all the stuff's in the body. This might sound outside the box, but by God, it works. And on the other timeline, we split out all these spirochetes, the stealth pathogens, you know, like, you know, Lyme, Morgellons, all the particles, and we, you know, so over a period of about 60 days, it actually splits it completely out of the body, and then what we do is reset the DNA to the blueprint. Now, everyone's DNA has been affected because, of course, transmissional frequencies, emotion, many things can affect the DNA, of course, agrobacterium. So what we do is reset the DNA to back to the blueprint, correct all, you know, connect all the helixes up, and repair any chromosomes, so it makes them robust and to the blueprint they should be, not to the where they've got now, and it really works. That means in the future, you won't get Lyme disease unless you don't, you know, unless you ingest agrobacterium or damage your DNA.
Okay, so you say there's repair done there. Is there something that you can visibly see?
You can feel it. You know, when we put people on DNA change, the whole being changes. And we always start in, you know, where life began is in the sacral point. So we do the first cell in the sacral point. And I work with these Melchizedek beings. You know, I was born as a Melchizedek being. There's five of us here. So what they do is they repair that that cell, and then that cell then repairs the next one. It's like a knock-on mm-hmm. effect. Mm-hmm. And because we have billions of cells, it takes between 6 and 8 weeks to actually manifest through the whole body. So it's pretty incredible.
Okay. So a person will feel it, but there's no measurable scientific analysis that can be done.
No, not for the DNA change, but there is for the timeline splitting. I've got a lot of doctors who send me Lyme patients and people with, you know, AIDS and things like that because they don't know what to do with them. There is no cure for that because it's off-planet technology. So, you know, we do the timeline splitting and they measure. They can actually tell by blood analysis and everything else what mm-hmm. percentage is out. And they've seen it, so we've got proof that, you know, it does work.
So even if somebody's damaged, they can get some repair done there, get back to normal.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, COVID-19. Now, I've got people with COVID-19 who've had it, mm-hmm. and they've got HIV in them, you know, and, you know, it's still there. It stays in the body. It, you know, like I say, you know, if they had a vaccine for HIV or Lyme disease, they'd be using it. And I don't see a vaccine because it's off-planet technology. And that's the problem, you know, with off-planet technology. If you produce something on a different planet, that planet has got, you know, different, you know, kind of grass, trees, whatever it's got, you know. And one of the problems is that you could probably create a concoction of herbs and things to repair that on that planet. But if you've brought that technology down here, then the answer is you can't, because you don't have those plants or, you know, grasses or whatever you need. So, you know, it's really important to understand a lot of this stuff is off-planet technology.
Oh, okay. So are you saying that Morgellons and others are from another planet?
Yeah, it's come from the Zeta Greys, you know.
From the Greys?
Yeah, from the Greys. I mean, the Greys contacted Hitler. They did a lot of experiments. They gave him technology for abductions for people, because they've screwed their own planet around. So they're, you know, trying to use human eggs and sperm to recreate, you know, Zeta Greyoids, for want of a better word. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is that technology moved on. Of course, it moved to the United States. Paperclip, we all know about Paperclip, it's old hat. And then they've been using it ever since. So the technology is off-planet. It's from alien beings, which means that, you know, I mean, if you look at the technology, you know, look at, I don't know, in 1980, I think, four, I was in university doing a master's degree, and we had Clive Sinclair, ZX81, and IBM, you know, XTs and all this sort of thing. It was low technology. And suddenly we've gone to this level within a very small amount of time. When you consider the evolvement of the human race over a period, this doesn't make sense. There's been intervention, you know.
Hmm. You know, you were talking earlier about repairing the DNA. It kind of reminds me of the CRISPR-Cas9 technology. Are you aware of that?
No, what's that?
Well, CRISPR, it's an acronym, but there's some tech that there is out there that will go to the helix and bridge the gaps, the broken parts of that helix by design. And they say that you can enhance strength, mental capability. They say that the Chinese already using it to try to create super soldiers, but so you might want to look that up. It's called CRISPR-9. So that's kind of pure evil if you're thinking about it. Hey, we got this question. Says Dr. Macklin, will there be a second lockdown in this country?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We haven't seen. It's and again, it's my belief. You know, I can go back and view things, and I see things, and I think there's a couple of timelines that could happen. You might get kind of supposed, in quotes, alien invasions from holographic inserts. Might get another round of another type of virus. I think, you know, we haven't seen anything yet, and I think, you know, there's going to be another lockdown, another round of stuff. And like I say, you know, I just don't want people to get scared about it, because, again, it's just manipulation. Switch the news off, ignore it. Just stay, you know, to me, it's staying with your family environment, with the people you love, and, you know, eat your own food, cook it, enjoy the time, because, you know, it's a blessed time. It gives time for people to reflect what they really want to do, you know. But mm-hmm. I do believe there's a beginning of lockdown, September, October. I think it's all going to shut down again.
Well, I think that's kind of a consensus that I'm seeing with all my sources and in my own personal belief, too, as well. It just seems like the mask thing is a trial run. The mask thing is going pretty good, by and large.
Oh, yeah, they're doing a great job of it. You know, it's not.
Yeah. Every company in America is signing on. So, you know, hey. But you talk about off-world. Now, I understand, and I think Tucker Carlson was talking about recently that the military is going to release the information from the Tic Tac videos of the UFOs and off-world vehicles that they've had or have. But now you're saying that off-planet freaks are sending down diseases to the good old humanity of this planet. Now, I'm not all liking that very much. So I'm seeing them as an enemy, Doctor.
Well, there's good and there's bad. You know, the Zeta Greys, the problem is the Zeta Greys were allowed. They signed contracts, even with this government, they signed contracts. Abduct people, steal the woman's eggs, steal the gentleman's sperm. We're going to create things. So they abducted them, put them back, wiped the memory of that abduction. Were they good? No. You know, they were taken off planet about, I think it's 2 years last June. Because I work very closely with a thing called Galactic Federation. I chair it along with two other Melchizedek beings. And it was decided, you know, there's a very close call between violation and education, and that's my opinion. So education is, you know, you come into this planet, so, you know, God says, well, look, you know, if you're starseed, I want volunteers, oh, I'll go, you know, and you look down at the planet and think, wow, it's really manipulated, but yeah, I'll do it. And you get down here and you have to learn how, you know, for example, reptilian entities like Anunnaki can attach to you and affect your body, or mm-hmm. Draconians. Or Luciferians, mm-hmm. or snake beings, different things. And so, you know, that to me is an education. I mean, it's, you could say it's a violation, mm-hmm. but it's a very close call because you knew before you got here you're going to have to learn about these things. Now, if the Zeta Greys come to the government and sign a contract to say, I'm going to abduct people, that's a complete violation of a human race mm-hmm. because we're stealing body bits and that's not okay. So mm-hmm. it was decided that they swept them off the planet, not last June, but the June, I think it's June or July before that. And it was all agreed, you know, and they've never done that before to a race because of the depth of violation. So you don't find Zeta Greys here anymore.
Well, have you ever heard of somebody named Whitley Strieber?
No.
All right. He's kind of connected with the old Art Bell show. I think he may be on Coast every once in a while, but he, I think he wrote a book too, but he was, he claimed he was abducted, but they didn't take the man's sperm. They were doing something in the back door there and it hurt him pretty bad. So these guys are freaks.
Oh, they are. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they mess about with people. They do tests on them. They pinch the sperm, pinch the eggs. They do a lot of things, you know. I mean, I have a lot of clients. I remember a girl who phoned up and she was terrified. She said, I feel like I've been raped. I feel, you know, I was abducted. I can't remember the whole thing, but I was on a ship. And she felt the whole womb like it, you know, she felt as though someone had just raped her. And, you know, I was actually in Florida at the time. So
that's
I went
what
to her house.
Said.
We did some work on her. She was much better, but bless her heart, you know. And this is not okay, you know.
No, it don't sound okay.
It doesn't sound good at all.
So, but you know, and it's just strangely enough, I mean, you know, the president has built the new branch of the military called the Space Force. I'm just wondering if he knows these freaks is heading this way, and he's trying to ramp up some defense network.
Oh yeah, I think you know, there's a lot of things. I mean, you know, if you look at the negative beings plus the positive beings. The Actorians are here. They work very close with Melchizedek beings. Mm-hmm. You've got the Palladians. You've got the Atlantarians, Lemurians. You've got the Andromedans. I'm missing one. What am I missing? Anyway, there's a slew
of
beings.
How about the Insectoids?
Sorry?
What about the Insectoids?
Oh, the Insectoids, yeah. They're
don't like
becoming
them.
A problem.
Big praying
yeah.
mantis. Look, praying mantis is... I don't like it.
No. Well, they're not good beings. And so you've got the Insectoids. You've got the reptilians, like the part of the One World Order. These beings are part of that because they can actually switch in this dimension, like the Anunnaki, Draconians, you know, Luciferians. I mean, people worship Lucifer. If you're in Bohemian Grove, mm-hmm. you know, top of the Masonic Lodge, you worship Lucifer, and they do satanic rituals, as we know, you know, and it's mm-hmm. not okay. And so there's a lot of negative beings involved with this, and also archons as well, which yeah. move through dimensions. But yeah. you know, there's an archon covenant they go through that, you know, get them sick, give them pills, you know, enslave them, make sure they pay all the bills, and make sure they have to go to work. You know, we don't need to do all this. You don't need money here. So it's kind of crazy, really, if you think about it.
I feel like I'm being watched. I don't know if you can see that, but I mean, there must be a reptilian. Another question for you. It says. Are you, doctor, are you aware of the Microsoft patent, and there's a number for it, HR 6666, could these be connected or related to the biblical prophecy?
They are, and they're also related to the vaccine. They have a vaccine already, you know, and it's not mm-hmm. a proper vaccine. It's just, they're going to, bullshit the government to basically get the thing through. They'll inject people with it, and then... they're going to be part of the nanotechnology, and the, you know, the 5G will connect you to the internet. You'll be a humanoid, you know. And
are you,
you
going
know, again?
Are you going to take the vaccine if they order you to?
No. No one will ever inject anything into my body because it's a violation of human rights, and I'll just leave the country. So you know.
Well, and that's all. There's also Bill of Rights, a World Bill of Rights on health. Maybe it's a health organization, but you cannot medicate people against their consent. And it sounds that's what that is.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think what they're trying to do. I don't think they'll ever make it mandatory because I think it's violating human rights. What they're going to do is the next round will scare the pants off people. Oh my God, you know, it's even worse than last time.
Right.
Okay, so here's the vaccine. Take it, you know. And I think what they're trying to do is encourage people. To do it of their free will because, you know, people aren't going to do it. I mean, I'll never do it. I know I've got some members of the family who, oh, yeah, give me the vaccine. You've got to be kidding. It's not even been tested. And you know, like I say, the Gates Foundation, my belief in Wuhan is what happened at first is that, and again, I've remote viewed it. They vaccinated everyone with these vaccines. So they've got nanotech in them. So what they do with Wuhan is switch on the 5G and didn't realize, but the nanotechnology, I don't know if you know, but you know, nanospheres have 96 points in where they're loaded with viral infections. And then what happens is it's got gold in the center, it triggers and it releases all those things at once. And I think what happened is they vaccinated everyone, switched the 5G on, and people were dropping dead, you know, like all over the place. So they kind of released this thing as well, I think, as a cover-up for, oh my God, then it gets out, and then, you know, there's a whole slew of things. But certainly the vaccine, you know, if you're with 5G, people, you know, I've heard different people talk about, oh, it's all 5G, it's nothing to do with a virus. Well, of course there's a virus, you know, because we've seen it, you know, but the 5G has something to do with it because it switches it on. I remember a lady with Morgellons, and I think it was about 8 years ago. So, and they dust people with Morgellons, and again, depending on your RNA DNA, these nanoparticles start replicating and growing through your muscles. Wow. So what happened is that, you know, this poor girl, and also they're reactive to transmissional frequencies at terahertz, you know, military frequencies. So they target certain people. This poor girl, every night about 6 o'clock, they switched the satellite on, and she was going nuts because these particles were heating up her body. She got really sick. So what we did is we had a look at the wavelength. So I've got a leading world toxicologist who works with us. She measured the frequency, and then we produced a Faraday cage, which is half wavelength mesh. Put it. She produced it all around her house, so she could actually, and you know, grounded it so that the frequencies couldn't get through, and she had a good night's sleep, and that really helped her. But you know, that's how evil it is. You know.
You said that you're in the order of a Melchizedek. Is that what? How do you say that?
Melchizedek. I was born as a Melchizedek. Being the order
born,
of Melchizedek was.
Well, it seems to me.
Around.
Okay. Well, I think there might be a scripture where it may indicate said Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Is that the same order?
It is. Yeah.
And what does that? What does that mean?
Melchizedek beings were here when, with the prime creator creating this world, and they were given the job to actually police it. And so that's why many Melchizedek beings have been in the past to actually come down here and help shape the future, you know, and it's not working so well. And this is one of the times when five Melchizedek beings came here, and there's five of us, to try and shape the future. You know, we have a new project. The Global Enlightenment Project is actually all about we're building some off-planet pyramids, and they're going to be here. First one comes next year. It's on the Fibonacci curve. So the first one is the smallest one, 333 feet tall. Next one is the next one, which is closest to the ley line, which is 666 feet tall. The last one is 999 feet tall. On the Fibonacci curve, it's going to inject energy into the ley lines to help move the planet to a higher vibration. So it's a big project.
Well, how are you moving anything to a positive vibration if you're doing something at 666?
Well, it's just sacred geometry. 666 feet tall, it's just sacred geometry. It's the height.
What makes something sacred?
Sacred is kind of, well, let's put it this way. You know, you can use a pyramid. If you want to use it with sacredness, then it's from God energy. Or, for example, if you look at the pentagram, the Illuminati use the pentagram to manifest. Now, is the pentagram dark? No, it depends which way you use it, because it's five pyramids pointed in. So it depends on your intent, whether you want to use a pentagram to manifest from God, or whether you want to use the pentagram for manifest Lucifer, and it's your choice. So, you know, to me, sacred is using it for the good of humanity and the good of God and everything else.
Mm-hmm. If you got a basement dwelling, scrawny looking anti-fall with a skateboard and fireworks intending to set your house on fire, are you going to grab a pentagram and use it appropriately, or are you going to grab a gun?
I never believe in guns. I'd never grab a gun.
Okay, so
faith and stop it from there.
Okay, so you use your super faith. Now how would you go about doing that?
I would just talk them down. Thing is about, well, let me take an example of the police force. So policemen have got guns. Now, some great policemen out there, and their last resort is shooting someone. They would talk them down, you know, they would try and do anything but shoot them. And they're really good guys. Now, you've got some who are totally immature. You just want to take a pop at somebody. And then the guys who kill us, you know, gone. And they panic because they're not mature enough to be able to handle a gun. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in my belief is that anyone, it doesn't matter if it's a scrawny kid or whatever, you can sit down with them and say, hey, you know, and if I talk to him, I know I could actually make a change and say, look, mm-hmm. if you want this stuff in the basement, take it. If it's that important to you, take it. You know, and I could talk him down because nothing's important to me. When I went bankrupt, I learned a lot about stuff. And I was really embarrassed. I had a Bentley and I had millions of dollars and it all went within like 14 days. And the Bentley was in the garage in a flat that I actually lent off somebody for 4 weeks because I had no money at all. So this Bentley's in the garage. I can't even put gas in it. And I was so embarrassed because the car's worth like $220,000. Embarrassing. And I thought, why the hell did I buy this? How ridiculous. And it taught me a lot about stuff, and I let it all go, and now I'm very humbled just by even having dinner on the table, because I went through... So, you know, what I'm trying to say is that I think, you know, stuff doesn't matter, people matter to me, and I would sit down with them and say, hey, look, I'm no threat, we're okay, because I'm mature enough to be able to talk him round and let him go, you know, it's okay.
All right, so you just basically come on and take what you want and...
Well, you know, if they're that desperate and if they really need it, take it, you know. Mm-hmm. If people break into my ministry, if they're that desperate, take it, because they must need it more than I do, because I'm insured, I'll just get some more, you know. Mm-hmm. But does it warrant killing somebody if they're in a really stressed place and they need some money, whatever, for drugs or something else? People take drugs because they want to escape from this place, you know. Mm-hmm. They want to get high because looking down here is not so good, and I understand it, you know. It's not mm-hmm. it's not the answer. Well, I understand it.
Okay, so all right. So now I've seen that view. That particular view is in Portland right now. We're in other communities where they're wanting to defund the police and they want to install a therapist. So if there's a rape going on, they're going to send, instead of policemen, they're going to send a therapist over there or a family counselor to try to help the woman who's getting raped, help her, you know, just give it up or whatever, and then go about her life and thank the person, I guess. That's kind of what I'm hearing a little bit from you.
No, I agree with the police, but I think it's important to get mature policemen. And I think a lot of policemen go into the police because they've got so many issues with their families and they've been abused or something else. And they go in the police with this ego, and it's not the right energy, because it's so easy to jump in and just shoot somebody. I think you need people who are really well balanced, who will use the last resort. You know, to me, a gun is a last... That's just my personal opinion. It's a last resort. You know, let's try and talk them down. Let's try and do something. If you can't, yeah, arrest them. But if they get really funny and try to kill you, well, of course, you know, then that's the last resort. But I believe in the police force. I think they do a great job here, especially...
I'm thinking of different applications to see how well your methodology or you thinking would apply. If you were in Berlin in 1939 and the Nazi SS stormtroopers came to you and telling you they want to send you on a boxcar to a nice place to have a new job in an oven somewhere, would you try to talk them down? Do you think talking them down would have got you out of that situation?
No, I think they would have said go, and I'd say no, I'm not going. So they probably would have got shot, and that's okay, you know.
Okay.
My belief is that you know, I'd never kill anybody. You know, I don't want the karma. I don't believe in guns, but you know, I don't believe in guns. I'm not talking about generally. I'm talking about for me. I cannot kill something. I cannot hold a gun. I just can't. So
I do understand. I wish we lived in a world where guns weren't necessary, but we don't.
Well,
we don't live in that world, Doctor.
That's why I honor the policemen, because they do a great job. They carry a gun, and sometimes they have to shoot people, and they get all the PTSD and stuff from killing that person. Mm-hmm. It's a really difficult job, and I honor them for what they do. You know.
Well, I did see one of those hateful videos where a guy was in his car, and an anti-file guy busts his window out and was trying to drag him out. Now, there wasn't a lot of conversation. I don't think that guy, the driver, had time to tell him that, you know, he's a great person and, you know, hope you have a good day. He just pulled a gun out and shot him. And that pretty much ended the situation. And so, I mean, I don't know. All right, let's go to this question here. Got a lot of questions in for you, Doctor. and this one here says, Doctor, what do you know about alien cat race, Lyran, I guess that's Lyran, aliens, humanoids?
Yeah, the cat race are helping us.
Wow.
The Lyrans, you know, are here, you know, they're here, We've got a lot of Lyra and Starseeds helping us as well, but they're of the light. They're very strong, and they're helping us move forward, and they live on a different planet. Mm-hmm. Lyra, so, you know, yeah, I've come across them, and I've come across the Starseeds as well. They're very connected to the cat family, you know, most of them.
Okay, so you're saying there are cat aliens?
Well, they're cat humanoids. They tend to be human-like, but, you know, with cat features.
Okay, I mean, do they go meow like that?
No, they tend to talk, you know, but
in a
different
whiskers?
Language.
I tell you what, if I was attacked by one, I'd give him some cat nip. Then I should be able to. No, that's a new one. Now, look, man, I've been doing this since 2004. This is about the 1,000-something program. I've never heard about the cat people. I feel like I'm missing out.
Well, you know,
I missed out all this time.
They're here to help. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've got Palladians, all these beings, you know, they're all helping out at the moment. Human race to try and shift consciousness, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, the cat beings are pretty strong, so.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about that. But wait a minute. Do they have a tendency, if they see, like, something on a mantle, would a cat alien knock it off?
Probably not, no.
Now, are you Brits, are you guys still mad at us from kicking you out of this country back in 1776?
No, I think things have moved on, you know. I don't even, to be honest, I didn't look at history, because what happened then is, you know, I love being in America. I love American people. And in fact, you know, I love it here more than I love the UK. And I think it's because the UK is very staunch, if that makes sense. You know, people are very open here. Although they're very easily controlled, they are all over the world. But people are very open and very loving here.
Oh, man, that's America. That's America right there. See, cowboys, we say America without the A. America.
But America.
Now, I understand London's a lovely place. They're the stabbing capital of the world now.
The stabbing capital. Yeah, it is, apparently. Again, I don't watch much news, but... Mm-hmm. But, you know, I suppose they don't have guns. I think with all the lockdown and different things happening and, you know, loss of jobs, and there's a whole slew of things happening in the UK. It's pretty manipulated like it is here. But I think, you know, the head of the Illuminati is there, and there's a lot of darkness, especially in Marble Arch, mm-hmm. where it's the center of the Masonic Lodge. Mm-hmm. So I feel like a lot of negative energy ruminates in London. Man. You know, I could always feel it. When I fly into the UK, I go, wow. I can feel the energy before I even get there, and you know, there's some great people in the UK, but there's a lot of, you know, a lot of dark energies, especially since the banking system really runs from London. It doesn't run from Wall Street or anything else. It's all concentrated in London. So
is Prince Albert, is he going to get caught for going to Epstein's Orgy Island?
Oh, I think they're all going to get caught. They've all been at it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Queen's a reptilian. Andrew's been at it, you know, they've all been at it, so.
Whoa, you say the Queen is a reptilian?
Yeah, she's an Anunnaki.
Okay, well, she's kind of ugly, so maybe that's the case. All right.
Well, she disguised it by wearing a hat and the handbag, that seemed, but she's a reptilian, I mean, she's a shapeshifter.
No doubt, you know. Man, look at that thing.
Yeah.
All right, put Yahweh first, says Dr. Macklin, will we be banned from buying or selling if we don't take the vaccine?
My opinion, not. You know, my opinion, not. I think they might try it with travel. Again, they've got to watch human rights, because it's your right to travel. You know, they can say, well, you're going to affect people and whatever. I think it'd be a short-lived thing. I mean, my advice at the moment is stay where you are. You know, I would love a vacation, you know. Daniel, I haven't had a vacation. Last time we had a vacation, we stayed at home, you know, which is not a vacation. But it was good because, I wasn't working for 10 days, got away from the healings, just had a rest. But, you know, last year we went to Florida, went to different places. I travel a lot, and I kind of miss it, but that's okay. You know, but my advice is stay exactly in your state.
Well, Dr. Chris, it seems like living in Branson is a automatic vacation, isn't it?
Well, kind of. I'm not overly keen on all the theaters, but I love the lakes, and I love the, you know, the foliage and trees and the animals, wildlife. That's why I live here.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you been to that Bigfoot museum there?
No, I haven't been there yet.
Okay, well, go there and then tell me how it is, man. Maybe I have to go down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, put Yahweh first says, will Great Britain vaccinate you if you leave the U.S.?
I don't know at the moment, right. No. I think if you travel to England at the moment, or Great Britain, I think they quarantine you for 10 days, apparently. And again, I haven't confirmed that. And to be honest, I never watch the news because, you know, my view is don't go anywhere right now, you know, because it's not worth the risk. I think you're better off staying in your state. You're better off not wearing a mask. Buy everything online and just enjoy your family, you know, be in your house. And we have a ministry building. This is a ministry building. We have 5 acres around it. You know, it's good because it's only 6 miles away from my house, so I can be here, I can be at home. You know, it's not on lockdown. You know, I don't wear masks and you can just be free.
So you got 6 acres. Is that in the center of town, on the outskirts of town? Where's that?
It's actually in Hollister. Do you remember Hollister, just outside Branson?
I probably went through there.
Yeah, well, Hollister's it's only like half a mile outside Branson, and we're actually in a neighborhood, and the reason why we are is because we're a non-for-profit and, in quotes, religious organization, so we can put it anywhere. So we found this house with 5 acres in the middle of a neighborhood, and it's actually beautiful, you know, so we're there. So I feel very blessed by that.
Well, we talked a little bit about the negative aliens. Well, are there positive aliens out there?
Oh, yeah, we've got the Palladians flying around helping us at the moment. Palladian craft from Pallades.
Well,
and the.
Why don't the old Palladian people, why don't they give us a cure for Cooties 19?
Basically because, again, they can help with so far, but it's against free will again because they're just being as bad as the Zeta Greys. I think, and the problem is, even if you gave a cure, it would be shelved because they want the cure to be this manipulated thing to get people on the internet, you know, this nonsense vaccine. So I think, you know, whatever they do at the moment will not be taken seriously. I feel like that's going to change, but I think it's going to take time.
Now where do your cat alien people, are they the good cat people, or are they bad ones that claw you and then vomit on your carpet?
No, they're good cat people. Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. They're so, and I don't mean to single out the cat race, but are there dog aliens out there? Dog men?
Probably. I haven't looked at them, to be honest. I mean, the
lion.
That's
not really. That's not too far out there, doctor. Because over time,
No, it's not.
There are people that claim they see. They're like humans with dog heads. They're called dog men.
I believe there are. I haven't seen them. I mean, I was just concentrated on the, you know, my concentration on the beings that are helping us, like Actorians. You know, I'm very close to the Actorians. We have watches. We have 3 watches that watch us all the time. And I remember, you know, to give you an example, I went to a ranch, Stardust Ranch. Went to that ranch, and he was having problems with Zeta Greys. They were killing his horses, so they come down, kill and eat his horses. So in the morning, he had a beautiful ranch, you know, saving horses, and some of them were being bit in the morning. He was kind of getting cheesed off, so we went down, and I worked on it and managed to stop it. But, you know, when I was there, I don't really believe in portals, but I opened a portal, and the 3 watchers just turned up about half a mile away. They just sat in the sky. I thought, wow, okay. And I can telepathy talk to them, and they said, we're watching you for safety, you know, so okay. And they stayed there for 40 minutes, had that portal open, got rid of the Zeta Greys, did some things. When I closed the portal, they disappeared. But what's interesting is 5 minutes after, when the portal opened, there was a sonic boom, you know, and it opened. These sources came out, like, you know, and they were going like 1 to 3, 1 to 3. And then 5 minutes later, the military helicopter came around, and they were floating around and thinking, what do we do with these? And then soon as the cells closed the portal, they disappeared. Very interesting.
My good friend Jim in Bath, Pennsylvania, says that he has seen orbs, maybe even ships too as well. And we're going to have a great show next week with Chase Closely talking about UFOs and ETs. But do orbs come out of these portals?
They can do, yeah. I mean, what was interesting is that when I opened the portal, now, I know what they're doing. They open the portal 300 feet above because they know me. I'd walk through the portal and probably not a good thing. But what was interesting, when they opened the portal, it was like just a circular thing, pretty dark, and ships and beings were dropping out of it. And I was like, wow, this is incredible, you know. So watch ships and beings dropping out of it. And, you know, the ships would fly off and other ones would go through. So shut the portal, it stopped, you know.
Well, what you don't want is a UFO to come by and have like a waste gate open, you know, from taking craps and drop that. You don't want that stuff. I mean, at some point they're going to open that, the waste disposal, and it's coming down. Hopefully you won't be on the, you won't be in the portal when that stuff hits.
Woo. I know, you got covered in poop.
and they're eating corn too, and you know that's going to hit you because that don't digest. But all right, so we got this question here. It says, did you hear about the country that found a cure for for cooties 19 with a plant wormwood, and the World Health Organization tried to buy them out?
No, I didn't. But wormwood's pretty powerful. They may have found a cure to a point, but like I say, if it's got HIV proteins in it, there is no cure. None on this planet, you know. Mm-hmm. No one's found a cure to AIDS. They've got drugs that can help it and slow down, mm-hmm. but no one's found a cure. And the same with Lyme, mm-hmm. and the same with Agent Orange. You know, I work with a lot with these people, and they've mm-hmm. been all over the place. They've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to cure themselves with a doctor and things. And, you know, like I say, they come with the protocol. It gets stripped out of the body within 60 to 80 days in a DNA change, mm-hmm. and they're good to go. So,
have you had any angelic visitations?
Oh, yeah, all the time, yeah.
Okay. What do angels look like?
It depends. I mean, the Melchizedek beings tend to look like ancient men, pretty tall. I've seen Anunnaki that can be like 10, 12 foot tall. They look like velociraptors, draconians, normally red eyes. Luciferians, pretty snarly red eyes. They hiss a lot, you know. And I think that's where, if you look at the Christian teachings from Jesus, he talked about demonic entities. I think that's where the Luciferians come from, because if they attach to you, they kind of contort the body, and they speak through a raspy voice like hissy. They're mm-hmm. pretty snarly. So, yeah, I've seen a lot of beings. Mm-hmm. And I've seen sources. I can see a lot of things.
Hmm. Well, if they start hissing at me, I'm going to pull up my 357. I'm going to have a little chat with them. I mean, look, man. Now, I know you're not you don't believe in guns, but if you got a real nasty reptilian getting ready to do something weird to you, I mean, if you had a gun, would you take him out? Or would you try to have a conversation with him?
No, I'd actually take him out by, you know, doing something else, creating a map of intent and removing him.
Okay.
And I do that every day. I mean, don't forget, these things can switch in dimensions. So, for example, a reptilian's the fourth dimension, it can switch here. And I remember there's quite a well-known presenter, and he phoned me up and he said, my wife's very slight, but, you know, when she gets angry, she throws me about 50 feet across the room. How the heck does she do that? I said, it's the reptilian thing attached to you, which is over 10 foot 7 tall. So it would switch for a quarter of a second, this dimension, and then switch out. And, you know, you look mm-hmm. back, wow, that was her when the thing's disappeared already. Mm-hmm. So these things feed off anger and things like that. So, you know, most people who come for healing have a reptilian attachment or an attachment of some sort, because, again, they're part of the One World Order. They're connected to the Queen of England. She's a reptilian as well. So these things, what they do is they attach. They sit in the abdomen. Abdomen gets bloaty, tap in the lower Ooh. Back, saying your negative thoughts, and hang on the shoulders, and so they crash the adrenals, you feel exhausted, and, you know, it sounds a bit like fibromyalgia, you know, depression and all this sort of thing. And it's because the reptilian attachment is not you, you know, so I normally take them out and, you know, start working on people to bring their organs back up to scratch so they feel great again.
Mm-hmm. How do you know that you, I mean, do you kill them off or you send them back in their damn dimension?
I actually send them back to a portal to the ultimate dimension, is where the Melchizedek beings come from. Mm-hmm. So I've got a portal open, I just send them up the portal and they get escorted off. That's why I said, you know, if a reptilian came...
Who escorts these bastards off? Who's doing that?
The Melchizedek beings who work with me.
Hmm. Okay. And didn't you say there's only five of them?
No, there's loads in the ultimate dimension. There's just five of us down here. You know, we've come down to pull from the ethers and get them to help us here. And that's our job. It's like starseeds, you know, you volunteer to come down here. If you connect to your starseed family, there's loads of them there. They're willing to help. And once they help, they can help you with your gifts and all sorts of things, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to play some here, see if you recognize it. Can you hear that?
Yeah. Andes.
So you do recognize that?
Yeah. That's my wife singing it.
Yeah.
It's Mandy. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah. So she plays guitar? Is that what it is?
Yeah, she plays guitar and sings. Her voice is amazing. Okay. I'm thinking I've heard that song before. It's Mandy. Yeah, she's got a beautiful voice, bless her. She plays guitar.
Okay. Now, if somebody was to listen to that, would they get positive energy and whatnot and get some healing going on or no?
Oh, they would, yeah. I mean, you can send that out. It's interesting because when she first put it up on the website, some of the clients were clicking on it. Oh, my God. One lady said, I was so depressed. And then I was listening to your song. And then I listened to it again and listened to it again and listened to it all day. And I felt so empowered, you know. So she's got a beautiful voice. I don't know whether you feel it.
But. Okay, well, let's listen to a little bit more.
Beautiful, isn't it?
She's playing and singing.
Yeah.
Go beyond right or wrong.
Is she American or British?
She's beautiful.
She's what?
She's amazing.
Okay.
And she's amazing.
Okay. I thought just a little plug there for you.
Oh, bless you. It's beautiful. Yeah, have a look at the website and play it, you know. Okay. It's healing for people.
Okay, well, sounds pretty good. And you know, that's the kind of thing, man. I mean, it better be listening to that, say, turning on CNN and hear that you know, the country's blowing up. But but now you mentioned the Queen is a shape-shifting skank. What about Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi? Are they shape-shifting freaks too?
I think Clinton's reptilian, yeah. Pelosi, I've not looked at. I'd have to look at that and let you know. But certainly Clinton's. I mean, they're pretty stark evil, you know. Mm-hmm.
When somebody is a reptilian or a shapeshifter, is there anything that can be said that would trigger them? And you said in the first hour, talk about, you know, try not to be triggered by different things. Well, this other side, they're not even thinking about that kind of. They're not thinking about peace and love. So I would enjoy to trigger them. So is there any kind of word or anything that I could say to somebody like a Pelosi or Clinton to trigger them to like manifest into the demon that they is?
What you're better off doing is actually we have a prayer. Again, a prayer is a map of intent. So we've got a prayer to actually expose them. So if they're reptilian, you know, they're sitting there as human form. And what you need to do, you know, again, if you think someone's reptilian, because you can always feel that darkness, like, wow, there's something about this person. It's fairly, mm-hmm. ooh, yeah. You know. So just look at them and do the prayer. So you ground yourself. You say, I am of God. I ground myself to the earth. Dear God, I command that you show this person in their true form. And I thank you, God. What'll happen is they'll shift and you'll get an overlay of their actual true form, like a, you know, an opaque overlay. It'll be very apparent. So if you ever see the Queen again, just say that, you'll see this reptilian formation over her. They can't hide from it. It's like holographic inserts, you know. Walmart used holographic insert technology. They use it all over the place, in Tampa and different places. Now, people say, well, what's that? Well, if you walk into Walmart, and you're used to it. I mean, I don't go to Walmart, but, you know, I used to. Mm-hmm. And I went into a holographic insert. So you walk in, and you look around, everything's completely different. Colors are different. I remember walking to our Walmart, and they had Subway on the right-hand side, and the tables were missing, and they're normally bolted down. On the way in, there was no trolleys, and the guy was standing there, and I said, there's no trolleys. He goes, there's no trolleys. I said, okay, you know, because people aren't communicating with you properly. So anyway, I walked out, said that prayer, okay, and again, we've got one for holographic, so dear God, I command that you remove the holographic insert from my life right now. Thank you, God, send you unconditional love, so be it. Walked back in, it had disappeared. So, you know, one of the warnings to people, I think, in, you know, August, September, is if they try this holographic, what I call drivel, where they're going to create like an alien invasion or blah, 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 the chances are it's holographic. So go with your first gut feeling. Does this feel real, or is it just a load of old nonsense? You can tell. If it does, say that prayer, it'll disappear because it'll remove it.
Hmm. By the way, several people in our live chat comments and they instantly felt contentment when we were playing your wife's music there.
Yay!
I just put a link in the live chat. It's at the bottom of the page. Now, is that the only song she has, or she's got a whole...
No, she's got a few of them. She's going to start writing again. Mm-hmm. You know, we got married 2.5 years ago, and mm-hmm. Her daughter was autistic. I adopted her, and we've had mm-hmm. some things with her to rebalance her. And now she's so well rebalanced and she's doing well, you know, and she accepts me as a dad.
Okay.
I adopted her, and now, you know, Mandy's going to go back to writing the music. And
wait a minute,
it is pretty
wait
beautiful.
A minute. You adopted her or you married her?
No, I married my wife, Mandy, and her daughter was autistic.
Who's that person I was just playing?
That was Mandy, my wife, Amanda, my wife.
Okay, I'm getting confused. Who was it that you adopted?
Her daughter. She had a daughter.
Okay, I got you. So, all right.
By the way, from vaccines as well. She got, you know, she got shut down immediately after having some vaccines. So, you know, we're working on it. She's doing way better. Mm-hmm. She used to bite the heck out of you and, you know, hit and pinch. Now she's really tranquil. She's happy and she's talking a lot more. So she's coming on. Bless her.
She would bite you?
Oh yeah, you know, when I first got together with Mandy, you know, she
I don't want to be rude, Doc, but maybe she needs an exorcism.
No, it's not exorcism. What happens with these autistic kids is they can't regulate, because if you inject someone with mercury and aluminum, depending on if they're very gifted, they need every pathway in the brain to function. You block one pathway and they go south. So what happens is that, yeah, I exercised her. I mean, she had an NT on her at one point, but it still didn't get away from the fact that they get very, they go south really quick and don't know how to regulate because their mind's not functioning properly. So they react and maybe go and bite you or pinch you or do something, you know. And we've got rid of that. You know, I've started to clear the pathway. She's doing great.
Does she live in your house?
Oh, yeah. Love her, bless her. I take her out shopping.
Okay.
Well, I did do. I don't remember.
So you're not.
She would not wear a mask.
All right, I better get away from it. By the way, how did you pop the question to your wife? Well, because you know you're all tuned in and vibrating and everything. How'd you propose, or how'd that go?
Well, at the old office, I decided to hire a helicopter for a trip. So what I did is say, look, we need to be at the office. So you know, make sure you dress up, and then I popped the helicopter question in the helicopter. It was great.
Mm, wow.
There's a picture of it on Facebook, actually. So
how romantic.
Beautiful.
Loving a helicopter.
Yeah, and then we went to a restaurant after, met a family there, and we had dinner. So it was beautiful.
You guys rose up together. You've been rising ever since.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, since you joined the ministry, you know, it's been soaring because, you know, I think, to me, it's all about love energy, you know, yeah. And it might sound all blah, 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 but it's really not. It's about, you know, if you have love behind you and you send that love out to other people and you're understanding and you can help people, you know, then, you know, we always do amazing, you know, we really do.
All right. So viewers watching Dr. Christopher Macklin that don't feel loved, okay, what do you say to them?
What you got to do is look why. I mean, for example, you know, maybe there's a husband and wife, and the guy's maybe narcissic or, you know, psychotic, whatever it is, or just doesn't even believe her and puts her down all the time, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that relationship's not working, what you need to do is look at it and say, okay, what do I want in life? Is this going to work? Is this person going to evolve up to my level? Because one of the things I believe is that, and a lot of people get stuck in this, relationships that don't work, and so they stay in it, they feel miserable, depressed, and you know, you got to take a step back. Is this working for me? If it's not, then you need to change it. And it's the same with the job. It's the same with anything. You got to look at, you know, why you're not feeling loved. And, you know, very often it's called sort of narcissistic behavior, people putting you down all the time. So if you're not feeling loved, maybe, you know, it's time to take a step back and change your life so you are loved again, you know. And if they're not the right person, you need to move on. I encourage people to stay together, but not at the detriment of that person. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you can work it out, then work it out. But mm-hmm. Most spiritual people can't. You tend to find one party will soar, you know, spiritually and really get there and understand what's going on in the world and everything else. And the other partner's just kind of completely shut down. Oh, you're a wacko and all this.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you make that work? And the answer is you can't. You know, you need to change it unless they're willing to change. So, you know, I think, you know, if you're not feeling loved and, you know, you've got problems at work or whatever it is, you hate things, you come home, everyone's been criticizing you, change your job. You know, it's not worth it. You know, no job is worth it. No marriage is worth it. You know, if you're feeling that bad, then change it. And you've got to take a step back and look at what's not working, you know,
mm-hmm.
and see if you can fix it. Maybe get some counseling. But very often I find, you know, that if people are in a third dimensional world and really shut down in the matrix, they're probably not going to change, you know.
Mm.
So.
All right. I think we talked about it earlier. It is that people get into a rhythm and they don't seem to, or a place that they just get stuck. Question from Doreen 8951 says, Doctor, is Planet X coming to hit the planet?
It's going to pass near. But Planet X, of course, has got the Draconians. That's why I've got a lot of Draconians down at the moment. So
the Dracos?
Yeah.
I hate them bastards. They kind of remind me of the Reptilians. I mean, they're a bunch of mean hombres.
Oh, yeah, they are, actually, and they're big as well, you know. But they're coming closer. That's why we've got, you know, battles with Draconians and things going on. Mm-hmm. That's why I say, you know, August, September, you're going to see probably a big instrument happen again. I'm not quite sure it is, because you've got to remember, so what's going to be? Well, it's not certain yet, because it depends on timelines. The Akashic Records have got timelines. You know, you've got infinite timelines, but humanity's also got infinite timelines. And if everyone woke up, you'd be on a divine path. All this satanic stuff would dissolve, but that's not happening, because people are engaged in fear and, you know, and their own thing. So they're not even thinking about, changing their lives.
Mm-hmm. Should people call on angels for help, or do angels automatically help?
You have to call, because the thing is about this third dimensional world is a classroom. So it's free will. So if you want to sit here being miserable and you're having problems or whatever, if you just sit there and don't ask for help, then you're going to sit there forever. Mm-hmm. Because they're not allowed. That's the Eagles universe. Can't intervene without asking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if you ask, like, people ask Archangel Michael, he's a Palladian, ancient Palladian.
Ooh.
You know, Jesus, he's a Melchizedek being. Mm-hmm. Buddha, Melchizedek being. There's different beings that you can ask, Metatron.
Did Buddha have a weight problem?
I think so.
He's just sitting around eating ho-hos or what? What happened to that
happy
boy?
It's happy Buddha. I think he just chilled out.
Well, you're right. He is happy looking. I got to give him that, man. I think he's eating too many ho-hos. Let me see what else we got here. Do you know about how many famous women are... Wait a minute. It just skipped on me. Okay. Do you know how many famous women are really men who have changed by their parents all their lives as a form of religious expression?
I don't know how many, but they're awesome. I haven't got a clue how many.
Okay. Do you follow Greer or CE5?
Greer or CE5, no.
Okay. Are there any UFO-type events coming yet in this year?
There might be. This pyramid project we've got, you'll get a lot going on around then, which is going to be June, July next year, because when these things arrive, there's going to be a lot of activity. But I believe that, you know, there's going to be activity probably August, September is what I see, you know. So,
well, Doc, 2020 has got to be the most suckiest year probably in anybody's memory. Is there anything, is there anything better coming in 21, or are we going to replay this thing even worse? What's going on?
My feeling is it's going to be dumbing down probably by March, April next year. I think it'll start getting better and better.
So I think they're going to
have their last-ditch attempt. And then I think there's also... Don't forget, you know, people talk about deep state, deep military, Illuminati. There's also some starseed and light beings in there trying to help, you know. So there's a balance between dark and light. And, you know, light always wins, you know. It always will.
Well, did you say things get better August, September this year or next year?
No, next year, April, May is what I feel it'll start coming out of it, you know, very quickly.
Well, what'd you say about August and September?
Oh, I think it's going to get worse, you know.
Well, thanks,
always
Doc.
Darkest before the dawn.
Ooh, okay.
Are we looking forward to it? Not really, but hey, we're okay. We're warriors, and that's the thing. You've got to stay as a warrior,
You got to have that warrior mindset.
Oh, yeah, you know, they're not going to bother you. It's okay, you know, just stay in your space, you know, don't worry about the mask. Don't go shopping, get it online. You know, do all the things you have to manage your life, because if you don't like masks and you're pissed off with everybody, well, let's stay at home and not get pissed off and stay in love and just buy your stuff online, you know. That's what it is.
Okay, now, a little bit of that sounds like escapism. What is our responsibility, or do we have any?
I think it's our responsibility to try and help people wake up, and whatever instruments you use, you know. I mean, I'm right there in the middle of people. I work on it every day, but it's all online because, you know, you can't travel, you can't do anything sensible. So, you know, I do Zoom meetings, I stream it on Facebook, I stream it on YouTube. And, you know, getting things out there, just even, you know, positivity every day. If someone looks a bit miserable on Facebook, and I always tell people, you know, imagine Betty, you know, she's gone to the doctor this morning, she comes home, you've got 4 weeks to live. You know, imagine how she feels. So she puts someone on Facebook, oh, I'm fed up with humanity. Can you imagine fed up with something? She doesn't mean it, but it's her expression at that time, because she's just been told, you're going to die within 4 weeks. So she puts this experiment. Imagine what hatred you'll get off Facebook. Ah, Betty, you're just no good. You should show, you know. And, you know, one of the things I think is you can spread really good positive things on Facebook. You know, you don't have to buy into the hatred. I see hatred all the time. I mean, sometimes you go, you're just a blah, blah, blah. Oh, this is a pile of nonsense. You're trying to scam. You know, everyone's, you know, heard it. And it's just very immature people, very unevolved people trying to project their stuff. So,
let me test that out a little bit. All right, so I'm reading my Facebook, and there's a video there of some skinny jean basement dwelling Antifa freak lighting a building on fire. Is it hate for them, the person who posted that? Are you saying that's hate because they posted it? Or is it hate because they said that they didn't like this guy?
I think it depends on what their intent is. I mean, it depends what was described. If, you know, if that thing where they're setting the house on fire, if they're showing that ground, I think, you know, it's inappropriate in my opinion. But, you know, who knows? But, you know, it depends what they said. You know, it depends on the expression. You know, if the expression was, I want to show this because I want to expose it, you know, but if there's hatred in it, then, you know.
Okay, so you're sitting at home and you're writing music, buying stuff at Amazon. You got money coming in and you don't even have to leave the house. Meanwhile, you have whole organizations that are undermining the government and getting ready to order vaccinations for everybody, and they have a team to arrest people that is not cooperating or don't say the right things. They're looking at their Facebook feed or their YouTube. They're looking for hate speech of any kind, whatever. Who knows what they're looking for? So they're creating the culture. And they're creating the rules. Because now, the person at home buying at Amazon, though, would you think that if they had engaged that, they could have stopped it? Or you think it's inevitable, so let those people create a world that you're going to, when you finally open that door, that world ain't going to be there that you thought was there because you've been inside. I mean, what's the responsibility there?
To me, the responsibility is you've got to look at how you change it. You know, can you change it yourself? No, they'll shoot you. You know, if you go there, they've got too many people, too many guards, too many things going on, too many satanic stuff. They've got the police involved. They've got everything. So it's my opinion. And I look at this world thing and it's gone too far. So how do you change it? So what we've done is we've created and we had 1,000-odd people involved with this. Mm-hmm. We created a God ritual. So what does that mean? Well, satanic rituals are we're going to send hatred to people. We're going to send, you know, all negative stuff every day, every day, every day. So we counteracted that and we actually did positive. So what we did is we looked at the gate founder. You know, we did child trafficking. We did big pharma. We went through 14 different categories, deep state, different organizations, CDC. Mm-hmm. It took us an hour and 40 minutes. We all chanted together. We said, Dear God, Goddess, you know, we're going to bring these people, all these people listed in that category, before you, God, for justice in only the way and the how. And by doing that, it actually then moves it over to God realm, and God will work on it. I've seen it before. And then what we did is say, okay, let's reinstate it every day, 3 p.m. for the next 120 days. So we're going to do it in about 90 days again. And I think it's way more powerful because it does start breaking things down. Because if it's prime creator, because that beings or Palladians, whoever it is working with the God, you know, in the God realm, they'll help stop it if we actually bring it down here. And that's the thing about third dimensional world. People don't realize, sit in your house, you're missing it all. Because like you say, you know, you're in your place, you're eating Amazon food or whatever you're doing, but you're forgetting about outside. You need to be aware of outside and not to fear it. But my opinion is it needs God intervention. If you don't get God intervention, this has gone way too far, you know. And I think by doing that, it's starting to break the satanic stuff down. Because don't forget, their dark satanic rituals are very powerful. God rituals are even more powerful.
So are we where we're at because people didn't engage 20 years ago when they should have?
No, I think the problem is the mind control has been going on since Babylonian times. You know, you got Babylonian times, you got the... the Roman Empire has never dissolved. It's still here. It's part of the Illuminati. It's all connected to the Vatican, the satanic stuff, Vatican. And everyone worships the Pope, and you've got to be kidding, you know. All this stuff, again, you know, I'm not judging them. They can do what they like. But I always say, if you're going to do child molesting or trafficking, you're not doing it on my watch. I'm a sit in the United States. I'm not prepared to put up with it. So how do you deal with it? Well, you're going to go and try and take on the Clintons or the Rockefellers. You'd have no chance. So let's use God, you know, God stuff. You know, God stuff will always win. an
now,
ugly
would
believer.
Say, would you say through history that God has intervened in the affairs of men?
No, I think what's happened is that, well, okay, yeah, I think there has at particular times that God has intervened when people have come down here to bring it down here. But, you know, the prime creator even, you know, it was agreed that when they created this third dimensional world, this universe, it was one of free will. They can't intervene. That's the universal law, even God himself. But they can intervene if you ask for help. So if you say, okay, I want this doing, I want that doing, and that's part of rituals, you know, to bring from God and the angelic beings, from the ethers down here to do stuff. That's our job, Dan.
Have you ever prayed to Jesus and asked for his help?
Yeah, I talk to Jesus every day.
Does he
and
help?
I talk to Buddha. Oh, yeah, they're all here. They're Melchizedek beings. They're part of this. They're part of this whole thing.
Okay.
And Buddha and Babaji and, you know, many, many of them.
The Boodster.
The Boodster. Yeah.
I mean, he does look happy. He looked happy, but he did. Well, Dr. Christopher McElhone, I appreciate you coming on the Edge broadcast. Anything you'd like to say to wrap this thing about your ministry or anything else, you go right ahead.
Yeah. You know, if you need help, please come. You know, visit us at Global. I mean, it's ChristopherMacLhoneMinistries.com. We've now called it also GlobalEnlightenmentProject.com. You know, we've got a lot of instruments to help. There's meditations. There's things that help with ADHD, ADD, OCD. All this sort of things, meditations to just make you feel relaxed is to, so, you know, there's a lot of instruments there to really help you. If you want to go on, we have groups, generic groups, if you want to sign up for them, it's by donation. So if you don't like them, don't donate. It's up to you. They're Monday, 9 o'clock Central Time, Thursday, 5 o'clock Central Time, and Saturday, 11 o'clock Central Time. We have more than 450 people sign up for that, and it's on Facebook and YouTube as well. So we have about 2,000-3,000 people watching, you know, three times a week. So.
Okay.
So if you want to sign up for that, if you want one-to-ones, call the office or email the office. It's all on the website.
Mm-hmm.
So please, you know, let us help you if you know if you want it.
Mm. Well, you've been on a number of programs. How'd you like being on this one?
It's wonderful. I love it because it's talking about. I love the way you get people to talk about different things other than just, you know, the, you know, Morgellons or this and that. You know, it's great putting scenarios together to see how people react, and I think. Because, you know, I see things very differently, and you probably see, I believe in God, and, you know, whoever God is, prime creator, but I know that they're there, and I know they've got our back, and if you can believe that and start having the faith, you know, it really helps you, because, like I say, how, you know, nobody can fix this world on their own, not even a group of people, it's gone too far. The Illuminati's huge, the Masonic Lodge's huge, Bohemian Grove, you know, all the big guys at the top, like 36 and 37 degrees Masonic,
mm-hmm.
They're huge, you know, they're big bankers. They've got way more power than we have, and yet, you know, we have way more power because we've got God on our side. They've just got Lucifer, which is, you know.
Okay, right, he ain't nothing. Well, Dr.
Yeah, he's not really.
Dr. Mike, I appreciate you coming on the show. Can we have you on again sometime?
Yeah, please, Daniel, I'd love it anytime. I'd love it. Bless your heart, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, and stay safe there in Branson.
Oh, God bless. Thanks so much.